सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 विल्चाम चैप्टर 4 वर्सेस 34-38
तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम् ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः तद्विद्धि प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्ष्यन्ति ते ज्ञानम् ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं यास्यसि पाण्डव येन भूतान्यशेषेण द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मन्यतो मयि यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं यास्यसि पाण्डव येन भूतान्यशेषेण द्रक्ष्यस्यात्मन्यतो मयि अपि चेदसि पापेभ्यः सर्वेभ्यः पापकृत्तमः सर्वं ज्ञानप्लवेनैव रुजिनं संतरिष्यसि अपि चेदसि पापेभ्यः सर्वेभ्यः पापकृत्तमः सर्वं ज्ञानप्लवेनैव रुजिनं संतरिष्यसि यदैधांसि समिद्धोऽग्निः भस्मसात्कुरुतेऽर्जुन ज्ञानाग्निसर्वकर्माणि भस्मसात्कुरुते तदा यदैधांसि समिद्धोऽग्निः भस्मसात्कुरुते तदा नहि ज्ञानेन सदृशम् पवित्रमिह विद्यते तत्स्वयं योगसंसिद्धः कालेनात्मनि विन्दति नहि ज्ञानेन सदृशम् पवित्रमिह विद्यते तत्स्वयं योगसंसिद्धः कालेनात्मनि विन्दति
You have done up to 34.
34 to 35.
In the portion between 25 to 30, he talks about various yajnas, and in 31 he says, eaters of nectar, those who perform this yajna, they attain amaratva. They go beyond death. Those who do not do this yajna, for them there is no happiness in this world. They don't get happiness hereafter as well. And then he said that, thus manifold sacrifices are spread out before Brahman, before Vedas. Various yajnas, yajna activities are mentioned. You can use any one of them and attain wisdom. Perform yajna activity is the emphasis here. In 33 he says, the sacrifice of wisdom is superior to the sacrifice of wealth, O Parmantapa. All actions without exception, O Partha, culminate in wisdom. He says, even though various activities are spread out in Vedas, between Dravya Yajna and Jnana Yajna, Jnana Yajna is superior. He says, then he says, Dravya Yajna, Yajnas like Dravya Yajna. See, there are Yajnas that are performed but desiring something. You perform Yajna for wealth, for a son, for power, etc. So even though it is the Yajna activity that is being performed, strictly speaking, what is behind that activity is asking spirit. Are you with me? What is behind the Yajna is wanting, asking spirit. So from the point of view of Yajna, strictly speaking, it is not Yajna. So he says, there are people who perform so many Yajnas like Dravya Yajna, but behind their mind there is always asking, desiring, craving. So it is like you leave the chappal outside in the mandir, but you go inside the mandir with the thoughts. Is that not impurity? Those thoughts are nothing but impurity. So in other words, you may go and think that I am not having any thoughts of the world, but even asking for moksha is actually desire. So strictly speaking, when you say yajna, it means action without any desire. That is what it means. For example, if you in the yajna kund have twigs which are wet, wood which is put in yajna kund which are wet, and when they are burnt in the fire, it brings about smoke. Are you with me? When the wet wood is burnt, it brings about smoke. Similarly, if your actions are wet with desires, it develops, builds more vasanas. But if your actions are not wet with desires, like dry wood when it burns, when it is burnt in the fire, it just burns and there is no smoke whatsoever. There is only fire, there is no smoke. Similarly, if your actions are done without any desire, what is there is only jnanam and there is no smoke of vasanas. So even though there are people doing, performing various form of yajnas, it is all vasana driven. There is something or the other they are asking. So therefore, from that point of view, compared to dravyamaya yajna, jnana yajna is superior. So instead of thinking that I will not do these activities because these activities are non-spiritual, whereas these kind of yajna activities are spiritual, I will do them. But there is something wrong in your understanding in that case, because even if you perform the so-called spiritual activity with desire, then what you are going to cultivate, develop out of that activity is only further vasanas. Because we think there is something called as samsaric desire and other kind of desire. Desiring is samsara. Desiring is samsara, yes.
You did those 12 yajnas previously. In that one of them is devi yajna, where they are saying that at least you do the devi yajna even if you have
a desire. There are people who do deva yajna.
Different desire.
Yes. So we said there also, listen to me, there also I pointed out to you that you should do that because you now have a desire, you are not able to
fulfill
that. I mean, you are not able to focus only on Brahman. Therefore, you continue doing it. But that is also not in an asking spirit. Honest, strictly speaking, Deva Yajna is not real Yajna. Jnana Yajna is superior to Deva Yajna. Because in Devi Yajna also there is trusting spirit. As long as there is something you ask for, it ceases to be Yajna. Yajna strictly means action without desire. And that jnanam should be learned from a guru, by a sishya, by prostration, that with the pranipatena, pariprashnena sevaya. That knowledge should be gained from the guru, by the sishya, through prostration, pranipatena, pariprashnena sevaya. Three things he mentions in verse number 34. These are very important. Because so many of us also ask questions. We ask questions by the way. We are so curious. It is our curiosity with which we ask the question. We don't really crave, we don't really want to know the truth. In fact, they said in the Shastras that don't give the knowledge for those who do not ask. And don't give the knowledge for those who ask also inappropriately. Give this knowledge only to those who ask appropriately. In the Upanishads it's mentioned the Sishya goes and asks the Guru. And the Guru says, come after 1 year. And they wait for 1 year, come back and ask the question. If it was curiosity, you wouldn't bother to get back. A lot of us ask questions because we just are curious. Or we go to somebody and ask questions to show them how much we know. Strictly speaking, we are not there as disciple. So he says, if you really want to know that, you have to become a disciple. If you want the water to be filled in the vessel, then the vessel needs to be kept properly. If it is kept upside down, the water will fall on the vessel, but the vessel will not receive the water. Similarly, you have to be a disciple to be able to receive. These things are mentioned not because Guru wants you to prostrate at his feet. If there is somebody who wants you to prostrate at his feet, then he is truly not a Guru. So therefore, when he says these things, it is not because Guru wants your prostration or Guru wants your seva. If there is a Guru who wants all this, then he is not truly a Guru. But from the Sishya point of view, all these things are very, very necessary for him to receive. And first and foremost, to be able to receive, the most important quality is, what is it?
To listen, to be open to listening,
faith and
what
faith. I don't know. I don't know. You must know that you don't know. And knowing that is very important and necessary, is essential. This is a very important quality of a disciple. Those who think they know, they can never ask, they can never receive. They may pretend to be asking, they are not really asking. You mean? So first he mentions pranipatena. If you wish to know this knowledge, the most important quality is realizing that I don't know. Awareness of one's own ignorance is a very essential quality. You can only move from conscious ignorance to conscious knowledge. If you are unconscious of your ignorance, you can never move to conscious knowledge. Impossible. So therefore he says pranipatena. Whenever you go to a guru, you prostrate. This prostration is symbolic. You are telling, I don't know. I would want to know this knowledge from you. So this prostration is, you are ready to receive. You are a disciple. You have emptied yourself. You are not full. Because if the vessel is full, it cannot receive. So prostration is a symbolic thing to express that you have kept yourself empty. You are not laying any condition on the Guru that you must now give it to me. You now give it to me if you think you, I am capable of receiving. Because the most important thing is, for a Sishya, he only knows that he doesn't know. But he doesn't know whether he is now ready to know. Are you with me? This is the thing that the Guru knows. So you can't go and tell the Guru, give it to me right now. You can't be impatient. All these are symbolically expressed by this pranipatena. I know that I don't know. Therefore, I have come to you to know. But if you think I am ready, you give me. Otherwise, till I am ready to know, I will wait and continue to serve you. So the Guru is not waiting for your service. I have put forth the question to you after surrendering completely. After Sharanagati, I put forth a question to you. But now I don't know whether I am ready to know. It is not my job. In fact, as a Sishya, I can never know whether I am ready to know. I only know that I don't know and I must know. I have come to you, I have put forth the question. Now if you think I am ready, you give me. Or whenever I am ready, you please give me. Always it is interesting, those who are not ready, they always think they are ready. Those who are really ready, they don't think that they are ready yet. It's a very interesting thing that happens. When I am not ready, I believe inside that I am ready. When I am actually ready, I always think that I need to do more sadhana. I am still not ready. These are very interesting things in life. Isn't it? So strictly speaking, a Sishya lays no condition on the Guru. Unconditional service to the Guru. And a Sishya is going to get something from the Guru. So the tradition says, the culture is, when you go to get something, don't go empty handed, because getting is only as a response to giving, as a byproduct of giving. You should not receive anything without giving. So therefore Sishya goes and serves the Guru, not because the Guru demands his service. And through service, when he has purified himself sufficiently, then the Guru imparts the knowledge when the Sishya is ready. Some people will come and ask you something, especially is there God? If there is God, in what form is he? Where is he? What is he? You know, questions pertaining to God. So many things they ask. Out of curiosity they are asking. So if you really talk about something else, after a while they will get involved in that topic and they will say, thank you very much, and leave. They are really not interested in the question. They are just asking for the sake of asking. Honestly speaking, if this question is there bothering you so much, then it will not allow you to sleep. Because this question is, who am I question? I seem to know about many things around me, yet I don't know who I am. It is exactly like somebody who has been brought up in a family and he has been thinking that he is born and brought up in that family. But when he is grown up, they tell him that you are not born in this family. We adopted you. Then he would suffer to know his real parents. Exactly like that. But we are very comfortable. You understand? We are not really interested in knowing. What has happened is, we have got tired wandering amongst senses. For a while, we have not become detached. We have not grown out of senses. We have temporarily become tired groping amongst senses. See, if you go on and on, see, for example, somebody is addicted to cigarette. You give the fellow as many cigarettes as possible and ask him to keep on smoking. For a few days, he'll get, tired of smoking. After some time, he will drop smoking for a while. But has he become detached from smoking? He'll take it up after a while. He'll come back to it. When the tiredness of smoking goes, leaves him, he'll get back to cigarette once again because he's not grown out of cigarette. Similarly, a lot of us are asking these questions not because we have grown out of senses. We are asking these questions simply because we are tired of senses. A person who is indulging, he also gets this question, but he has not really come out of it. Therefore, his question is only out of tiredness and not out of growth. But this the guru knows whether the person is really asking or he just got tired with senses, therefore he is asking. You've been indulging in the senses. You haven't found that real happiness that you are searching for. The dissatisfaction is still there. But you have still not come to the conclusion that the happiness is not there in the senses. You have not turned away. You understand? You have not turned away from it. It is just sitting behind you. It is not gone away from you. So when you turn to a guru and ask the question, the guru sees through your head and tries to find out if the desires are there behind your head. If it is still there, he is not going to answer. Because a true guru knows that if the vessel is not kept properly, it cannot receive. As long as that tiredness is there out of which you are asking the question, and the desires are there behind your head when you are asking the question, when you are still believing that the happiness is there in the external world, you have not really turned away from it, you have not really got the vairagya, Guru is not going to give you the answer. Only when Arjuna surrendered completely and said, I don't know, did Lord Krishna give him the knowledge. We saw that already in the second chapter. So a lot of us, when we ask the question, we think, I'm seriously asking, I've gone through everything, I've been indulging so much, so now I really want to know the truth, really want to gain the true happiness, really want to know the truth about myself. When we say all these things, if there is impatience, that shows that I really do not want to know. I'm really not a mumukshu. There are two different things, isn't it? Out of tiredness, I left the senses. not because I have understood that there is no pith or substance in the senses. Please understand this. Unless and until I am able to leave those things and come, it is not possible to learn. That is why when you go to a guru, if you have samsara, the guru will say, no problem, you take your time, then come and ask me. After having done enough with your samsara, you have no more samsara left, you come and ask, then I will give you. You want to continue your samsara? Quickly, sir, I have just come for 2 days vacation. Why don't you answer? He's not going to answer. Not because he is egoistic and he wants to hold on the answer from you. No. He wants to give you, but he knows that you are not yet ready to receive. Jesus Christ says, don't cast pearls before swine. Don't cast pearls before swine, because they don't know the value of it. They can't differentiate from the fake and the real. So that is why it is very important that you have vairagya. Also, if you are really thirsty and you see a river flowing, the real thirst in you will make you bend down and drink the water from the river. If you say, no, water is there and I am thirsty, but I am not ready to bend, that means what? You are really not thirsty. Are you with me? So this bending, this humility is the first sign to gain knowledge. If your head is not ready to bow down, you can't learn. If without bowing your head, you are receiving from somebody, that cannot be true knowledge, because that person who is giving cannot be a true guru. What you are getting is words and not spirit. Words can be bought, not the spirit. Remember. If somebody thinks he is a guru and gives knowledge, he is not guru. A guru wouldn't know that he is guru. But a shishya would know that he is a shishya. Therefore he knows his limits. Therefore he goes and prostrates to the guru and says, my dear guru, I don't know, I wish to know. He puts forth his questions, but I don't know if I am yet ready. Therefore I would continue the process of readying myself through serving you. And whenever you think I am ready, then kindly give me the answer. I am ready to die, but I am not going away from you till I get the reply. I am ready to serve till I die. You understand? That is the spirit. So tat viddhi, know that pranipatena. The first thing that is said here is, you should prostrate. It is impossible. And secondly, another thing what we need to know is, really speaking, this is not a knowledge that is transferred through words. When the ego dissolves, the knowledge, what happens? Surfaces from within you. Remember this. When you question without surrendering your ego, you will get answers maybe from some people, but that has not really given you the knowledge. That has only given you the information. Because knowledge is what? Dissolution of ego. knowledge cannot come from outside. What comes from outside is only information. Information can come from outside. Knowledge can only come from inside. So when you out of humility surrender, when the ego dissolves, knowledge comes from within. Therefore, if you really wish to know, then you need to surrender. If you say, no, I will question you, I will ask you, but I will not surrender, then it is impossible to know the Atma Jnanam. Because Atma Jnanam, Guru cannot give you unless and until you have dissolved your ego. It's a beautiful story. A king wanted to know the truth about God, the truth about reality, the truth about himself, his own real self. So he asked so many of his wise people in the court, and he said, I want reply from you all. And they didn't have the answer, because they are not there worldly wise, but they were not tatvajnanis. So they didn't know. He said, tomorrow if I don't know that from you, you will all be terminated from the court. So tomorrow morning when you come, please bring the answer. Tomorrow morning nobody came. Next day morning nobody came. They were all absent. So one of the gatekeepers who was there, he said, nobody has come because they don't know really. Therefore they have not come. So shall I give you the answer? He said. The king got wild. He said, what? You are a gatekeeper? You want to give me the knowledge? How dare you? He said, if you are really interested, how does it matter whether I am a gatekeeper or not? If you are really interested, I am ready to give. Right now, are you ready to take? He said, okay, come in. And he was sitting on the throne. He said, give me the knowledge. He said, you better get down. If you wish to know, you better get down, he said. How dare you, he said. He said, yes. If you really want to know, you can't be seated there. You have to get down. He went and sat on the throne. He said, now bend down your head and touch my feet, he said. The king was so angry, but he did that. After some time, the king was not taking his head out of the floor. So the gatekeeper said, who is the guru now? Said, take your head. Why are you still bending down? Take your head off the floor. I would give you the knowledge. He said, there is no need. Because the moment I bent my head, the knowledge came from within. That is true, guru. Remember this. It is not through questions, it is through humility that we realize this. So therefore they said, questions without humility cannot give you the knowledge. Questions with humility can alone give you the knowledge. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. The guru is given the seat slightly above. We are looking up to the guru. This is how traditionally, culturally it is done. But nowadays if we go to the colleges, the setup is in such a way, the guru is standing down, all the sishyas are sitting up. The idea is not, see, if you really want to know the knowledge of yourself, remember, it is not possible to get it from outside. It has to come from within. And if it has to come from within, then you need to bend down. You need to prostrate. You have to surrender. It is impossible to gain the knowledge of the self without surrendering and without service. Guru is not in need of our service. Like Swami Vivekananda, in one of the lectures, he says, the world is not in need of your service, but you need to serve. Because through service, you destroy your ego. And when you destroy your ego, knowledge surfaces. We all think we need to do service because the world is in need. Uttarakhand now there is devastation. So they are all in need. I need to do the service. World is not in need of your service. But through service you purify. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, said Jesus Christ. You need to purify yourself through service. Service alone purifies. And when you purify, knowledge comes from within. So the way to know is to serve. The way to know is not to take, but to give. So if you go to a guru with an idea of taking, that very idea of taking stops you from receiving. Therefore the emphasis is on service. Are you with me? If you really wish to gain that knowledge from within, you better serve. Because it's only through service can you gain that knowledge. Not through the idea of taking. The very idea of taking prevents you from receive. River cannot know the ocean unless it is ready to give itself away. If the river wishes to keep itself, to the extent it keeps itself, to that extent it cannot know the ocean. You want to know the ocean, you better give your identity of the river. Isn't it true? I want to know the ocean also, but I want to keep my identity as a river also. What after giving up myself? I don't know the ocean. If the doubt is there, therefore you protect yourself, your identity, you can never come to know the ocean. It's very interesting. We all say we believe in God, and yet we go on what? Saving for future. A very interesting story I heard from a person who met me in Ananda when I was lecturing there. He was about 70 years old, I think. He said about so many years ago, first time when he came to Rishikesh, he was sitting on the river banks of Ganges. Suddenly a sannyasi appeared in front of him. He said, "I'm hungry. Can you give me something?" He said, "I don't have anything. I'll give you some money. You can go and buy whatever you want." He went and bought whatever he wanted. He had his meal. And after some time he came back. This gentleman was still sitting there. He came back and said, "I've had my meal. You gave me 5 rupees. It was only costing about a rupee or so. So keep your 4 rupees back." For which this man said, "I believe. Please keep it. I gave it to you only. I don't need it back. You please keep it. You can have it for your other meals." He said, "For this meal, God sent you. For my next meal, He will send somebody." You understand? If He sends somebody to receive, He will send somebody to give you also. Then you are really believing in God. On one side you say, no, I believe in God. On the other side there is still that amassing thing for the future. Accumulating for future. On one side you say, "I believe in God." The other side you continue to go on accumulating. Then you are not really a bhakta. If you are a bhakta, how can there be fear? Cannot go hand in hand. Cannot go together. Are you with me? Similarly, if you wish to know, you should be ready to die. It is not easy to become a disciple. You understand? You can question. And that questioning alone doesn't mean you become a disciple. A disciple means you are ready to completely give yourself away. If the river is not ready to give itself away, can never know the ocean. And it's only the valley that collects the rainwater, not the peak. So if you wish to collect the knowledge, you need to become the valley, not the peak. If you continue to remain a peak, you will never receive the knowledge. Therefore, he says, tadvedi pranipatena pariprashnena seva. It's a very, very, very important off-quoted verse. 34, chapter 4. Tadvedi pranipatena. Therefore, always they talk about devotion first. If you want to cut through the hard iron rod of samsara with the discrimination, you need to continuously lubricate it with oil. Otherwise, the oxa blade will break. So the devotion is the most essential quality to gain the knowledge. Without surrendering, without devotion, it is impossible to gain the knowledge. That is why before he put the questioning word, he put prostration word in this verse. Tadviti pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. You go to somebody and say, please give me the answer. And the guru says, okay, you come back tomorrow morning. You say, no, but tomorrow morning I am occupied with something else. He says, okay, then come tomorrow evening. No, tomorrow evening I am going out of station. Then, in other words, you are not ready to wait to receive. You want it right now. You are putting the questions. There is no surrender. You are just curious. When you are curious, you can get the answer, but not the knowledge. A guru is not interested in giving you the answer. Guru is interested in giving you knowledge. Remember, guru will never give you what will continue to make you dependent. Guru will only give you something that will make you completely independent. Information will continue to keep you dependent. Knowledge releases you. Knowledge gives you freedom. What you are asking for is freedom. Freedom can never come to you unless you surrender. You are getting so much of information, yet you continue to be dependent, yet you continue to be enslaved. That means what? You still not got the knowledge. The moment you get that knowledge of your true self, you instantly become liberated. You instantly become free. Answers are temporary measures. They don't release you. In fact, answers are like, what do you call, drugs. It has an effect for a while. Again, what happens? You need more drugs. You need more answers. This is what happens when you get answers. You understand? So you must take all these three things together. You continue to serve. You continue to put in the practice. All that the guru teaches, you should be ready to practice. If you go on questioning is a very intelligent way of postponing action. You remember this, we talked last week. One of the intelligent methods the intelligent procrastinators follow. Why, how, what, unless and until I completely know, unless and until see it, I will not practice. If you don't practice, you will not get it. By asking how, we procrastinate. Please understand this. When there is something, see, if you are really wanting to get out of some disease. You go to the doctor. You are suffering from the disease. You go to the doctor. And what does the doctor do? He diagnoses your disease and he gives you medicine. You ask him, sir, how does this work? I am putting the tablet inside my mouth. But the problem is there in my feet. How is this going to solve? He tries to explain, but you don't understand. So you say, sir, since I have not understood, I will not take the medicine. If you don't take the medicine, will you get cured? So therefore, kadvidhi pranipatena, I am suffering from this disease. I go and prostrate to the guru, the doctor in this case. Then he gives me prescription. Now the prescription I need to
follow.
Sevaya means I do continuous service. Guru says, sir, you will get it. And your question is, how? Please explain to me. He is explaining. Going on explaining for so many years. You never continue to serve. You always continue to do activities which are selfish and self-centered in nature. You never get it. But you continue to question. I am a very sincere person. I continue to question. All that the Guru said was, sir, you will get it. Unless and until you serve, you are not going to get it. So when a person dissolves himself or herself through yajna activity, he liberates himself. If he is not ready to do yajna activity, he is not going to get it. You can read as many Bhagavad Gita interpretations as you want. You can attend as many lectures as you want. The idea finally is to what? Dissolve the ego. Various activities are there as only methodologies to dissolve your ego. Various ways in which you can dissolve your ego. Understand? But finally what requires is dissolving the ego. Because it is the dissolving of the ego that brings me the happiness. Not actually the action. See, whenever there is a desire, I go after the object of the desire. And when I go after the object of my desire, having got the object of my desire, I feel as if my happiness has come back to me. But the problem is, out of delusion, I am attributing the happiness to the what? Attainment of the object. Attainment of the object temporarily subsided the desire. What was happiness inside me surfaced at the time. So happiness was not brought by the object, but the happiness from within surfaced. The desiring doesn't allow the happiness to surface. When you got the object, temporarily the desiring stopped, the happiness surfaced. So similarly, all of us are using action to gain happiness. When through action we do selfish actions to gain happiness, we never get it. The moment we drop the selfishness, we get the happiness. Therefore you need to serve. So if you really wish to know the Gita, if you really wish to benefit from Gita, yajna activity, read verse number 9, chapter 3's translation. Read from the book. Verse number 9, chapter 3. You understand what he said. Chapter 3, verse number 9. Read loudly. No, just the translation.
Oh, the translation. This world is bound by action other than those performed for the sake of yajna. O Kaunteya, perform action for that sake, free from attachment.
What is saying? This world is bound by the actions performed other than for the sake of yajna. Therefore, perform yajna, O Kaunteya. So Lord Krishna is only explaining that. I'm only pointing out to you. So you are bound by selfish, self-centered activities, not by activities. What binds you is not the action. It is your self-centeredness. Your selfishness binds you, not the action. Therefore, he says, Sevaya. You with me? So if I understand, I don't know, I go and surrender to the Guru and question the Guru, and then I wait for him to answer, because the more he is not giving me the answer, it is a reply to me that you are not yet ready. How do I get ready? Through service, by serving, by doing karma yoga, not by asking. Oh, this is not there, that is not there, will that happen, that will that happen. Going on, and you never get it.
Yajñātvānapunarmoham, yajñātvānapunarmoham, evam yāsyasi pāndava, evam yāsyasi pāndava, yena bhūtānya sheshena, yena bhūtānya sheshena, drakṣasyātmanyato mayi, yajñātvānapunarmoham, evam yāsyasi pāndava, yena bhūtānya sheshena, drakṣasyātmanyato mayi.
Knowing that knowledge, knowing which you shall not again get deluded, thus, O Pandava, O Arjuna, the moment you know, the delusion leaves you. You shall not be deluded thus anymore, by which you will see all beings in the self also in me. See, the moment the sun rises, what happens to the snow?
That's melted.
Immediately it melts. You can put the other way also. If the snow melts, it means the sun has risen. When the snow has not melt, it means the sun is still not risen. Similarly, as long as you have the ego which is frozen, it means the heat of self-knowledge has not risen. The moment the heat of self-knowledge rises, ego melts. What stands as barrier between you and divinity within is your ego. Nothing else. So he says, knowing which you shall not again get deluded. What is delusion?
That we don't understand its maya, we become too involved in the world.
Don't say things thinking that it's right.
Thinking?
Delusion, like it's probably not what you're actually thinking, but you're deluded by your thoughts.
What does delusion mean, first of all?
What you see, but you imagine it is something else. Yeah.
Maya.
So delusion means you see something else other than what there is. Right? So what is the delusion that Krishna is talking about here to Arjuna? Knowing which you shall not be deluded thus. What is the delusion that he is talking about?
That these relatives are, he should not kill them and he should not do this. He is too attached to them.
Okay. What else? What is the real delusion that Krishna is talking about here?
That he feels, he knows, I mean, the delusion is that you feel that you know.
The delusion is all of us believe that I will die. Therefore, I do not want to die. Therefore, out of delusion, I go on doing things to prevent myself from death. Are you with me? Why doesn't Arjuna want to kill Bhishma and Drona? Why doesn't he want to kill Bhishma and Drona?
Because it's attachment to them and he doesn't want them to die.
Bhishma and Drona are nothing but his own extension. When they are his own extension, when Bhishma dies, part of him dies. Are you with me? So what is the real delusion? The real delusion is, the truth is, I am deathless. But the delusion is,
I am dead.
I will die. Therefore, delusion, moha, what does it do?
Makes you do things.
Makes you do things which will
keep you alive.
Keep you alive. So one of the things we believe is if I amass wealth, then that will come handy to me to keep me breathing at least in ICU. You understand? Now why then do you, just think about it. When we go after money, we are not really after money. We are really after what? Living. Please understand this. So what is the delusion? The very delusion. This is how the Bhagavad Gita started. Those who think they can kill. Or those who think they can be killed, both are fools, he said. He talked about Atma, which is deathless. That is what he spoke about in the beginning. First lesson that he gave when he started off speaking is what? Ashochyan anushochastvam prajnavadamscha bhashase gatasum agatasum na anushochanti panditaha. Wise people do not grieve for those who have gone and those who are yet to go. They do not grieve for anybody. These people do not deserve to be grieved for. Arjuna, you are grieving for those who do not deserve to be grieved for. When he said that, he didn't mean that Duryodhana doesn't deserve to be grieved for. Nobody deserves to be grieved for because nobody ever dies. Natve vaham jatunasam natyo meme janadipaha nashaivana. He said in that verse number 11, I'm sorry, 12, he said, nobody ever dies. Natve vaham jatunasam natyo meme janadipaha. Never indeed was I not, nor you, nor these rulers of men. None of us will cease to be hereafter. So basically, the delusion is what? I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intellect, and this will die someday, and the delusion will try its best as much as possible to not die. So all our efforts in this world is what? Fighting with the death. All our life we are only fighting with Yama. So you may say somebody is ready to die, commit suicide. What about them? Just give them a ray of hope. Last minute. They are saying, we don't wish to live this way. We deserve to live better. So you give them that ray of hope. They will say, I'm not dying. So really speaking, all our fights here in this world is what? Not to die. To live. When I am really not even born, where is the question of me dying? There is moist in the atmosphere. Sun rays are there. They just happen to meet each other. Moist in the sun rays. As a result of which you apparently see rainbow which doesn't exist. So there is no question of rainbow itself. There is a question of rainbow's death. Similarly, there is Prakriti, there is Purusha. Where did this individual come about? The individual did not come about. It is Maya. So you have created your birth and afraid of your death. And this is the delusion. So out of this delusion, you try to expand. You try to conquer. Because one of the things you conquer is what? If I don't conquer, then there will be otherness. As long as there is otherness, there is fear. If everybody here is in some way other associated with me, there is no fear. When you go to some other country, the otherness is there, there is fear. You come to your country, there is no fear. Why? Because there is no otherness. So one of the things is, make everything mine. If I can make everything mine, then I think I will be free. Nobody will be able to kill me. Nobody will kill me ever. Therefore, I have to make everybody mine. So that is why in this delusion, mine comes. Make everything mine. The moment I make everything mine, then I am worried about something mine being destroyed as well. So when something mine is destroyed, it is part of me that is being destroyed. Please understand this. So after conquering the entire universe and becoming a superpower here, your mind will now start thinking too much about aliens. It is the superpowers who are more worried about aliens. Because I know that my threat cannot come from here. Because I have expanded my dynasty that much. But if there is something outside, the danger can come from there. You understand? Knowing which you shall not be deluded again, thus, O Pandava. So the basic delusion that each one of us have is that I am born and I am going to die. All our efforts, we put in so much of efforts to educate ourselves, for what? To get a job. And what will the job provide you? The job will provide me money. What will the money provide me? Extension of stay. Ultimately, extension of stay. Like a visa extension. You understand? So basically, this is the delusion. So all our efforts are not in living, is in going waste in fighting death. This is why Vedanta says, nobody ever lives. Because if you are living, then you will not be fighting with death. You have no time to fight with death. If you are fighting with death, then you are not living. So truly speaking, who lives? Only a person who has realized the self lives. Nobody ever lives. Everybody else is only fighting with death. That is why Kena Upanishad says, Heya Cheda Vedi Data Satya Masti Nachediha Vedi Mahati Vinish. If you know this, then you have lived a truthful life. If you do not know this, you wasted your time. Because all the time, you are trying to postpone it. Find out people who are ready to die for their something of this because they are promised some place in heaven. Everybody is promised existence, therefore they are ready to die. A great warrior is ready to die for his country because he knows he will continue to live in the hearts of his countrymen. When some people talk who have lost their limbs in the war, after a while when they are made to run up and down to get their rewards of having served the army, they say, what is the use in all of us laying our limbs? So if you go deeply, the psychological thing is what? Nobody wants to die. But deep inside they are thinking that they will die. Therefore everything that they do is to continuously live. From the Atma point of view, you never were born. Therefore there is no question of dying. you have created a figment of imagination that you are born. Therefore, you are deluded that you will die. This delusion, the moment you know this, the moment you gain that knowledge, instantly the fear of death will go. Once the fear of death goes, what does fear of death means? Fear of death means all these thinking about future goes. You never live in the present. In the present, you are always married to the future. So the moment you gain this knowledge, you live. Suddenly you say, my God, I never knew I wasn't living. Now I am living. Now I am in a delusion that I am living, but I am not really living. Once I know that knowledge, then I will be living. I will not be in the delusion of living. But the problem is, one who is deluded doesn't know that he is deluded. That is the problem. Once somebody is deluded, to that extent he doesn't know that he is deluded. Isn't it true? The frightening thing about this is, to the extent I am deluded, I would not know that I am deluded. That is why this spark, that question of knowing myself, if it comes truly from within, it is only possible when you have understood the frivolous nature of the worldly objects and beings. Not otherwise. So, know that by prostration, by questioning and by service, the wise who have realized the truth will teach you the knowledge, knowing which you shall not again get deluded, thus O Pandava. Thereafter, you would not want to run after wealth or anything, people or anything for that matter, to prolong your stay. Nor will you running away from things that you believe will make your stay short. There is no question of running after or running away. There will be only living thereafter. Today our life is full of running, no living. The moment this delusion goes, thereafter there will only be living. There is no question of running. That is why the great master says, Ya Pashyati, Sa Pashyati. Whoever sees it, sees it. Please leave us alone. Because for us it looks like they are not living. They don't come and fight with us. You do not know what is living. But the fact remains that we do not know what is living. We are confusing our present way of living as living. This is just a fight with Yama. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Adi Shankara says, Yame Nana Sarcha, don't fight with Yama, he says. Because all our life goes about fighting with Yama. An old man was struggling, carrying his cut wood. No? He was cutting his wood. He's a wood cutter. So many years he's been cutting from young age. He'll take it and sell it in the market. He's become old now. Still he was continuing his profession to earn a livelihood. So one day he could not, you know, take the weight. It was so hot also. So he said, oh Yama, why don't you come and take my life? At that time Yama was passing by that side. So he said, you call my name. He said, yes, I called you just to take this burden off my head. But actually he called him for what? Take his life. But was he really calling him for taking his life? Not really. Because when Yama came, he didn't say, take my life, I called you for that. He said, I called you just to take the load off from my head. Really speaking, nobody wants to die. This is what the delusion does. So for that reason, what do? One of the things we do is marry. Because security I have. You understand? Security. One of the things that we expect in marriage is what?
Security.
Why do we have children?
Security.
Shahjahan thought he'll get security from Aurangzeb. Whether he really got it or not, history tells us better. So all that we are looking for, name, fame, power, position, family, status, money, all these things that come as an offshoot of our delusion is what? Fighting with death. So knowing which you shall not again get deluded, that means what? You shall not waste your time anymore fighting with death. You will live your life happily hereafter. That is what it means. Without knowing the true nature of yourself, all your effort goes in fighting death. It's a total waste. How deep it is. Such is our delusion, he says. Knowing thus, you shall not be deluded again, O Pandava, O son of Pandu. Why is he saying Pandava? Arjuna, you are thinking you are son of Pandu because you are still deluded. The moment your delusion leaves, a Pandava, Gandava, nothing will be there in you. Because you know that you are Atma. As long as you are Pandava, you will have fear. You will either be running after or you will be running away. The moment Pandava, you clearly understand your identity. The moment you understand the Pandava leaves, then there is no question of bhaya in your life. There is no question of fear in your life. Fearlessness. So really speaking, delusion is nothing but the thought that I will die. So deeply speaking, this I doesn't want to die. Are you with me? The I doesn't want to die. But the irony is, unless the I dies, you do not gain the knowledge. So that is what I said. When the sun rises, the snow will melt. A wave imagines itself to be separate from the ocean. Right? It imagines itself to be separate from the ocean. And therefore it is frightened of being killed. Isn't it? A wave is frightened of being killed, eliminated. Therefore, the wave never lives its life totally. It goes on existing with the thought that it is going to perish, 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 and it is going to fight with all the other waves. Yet it never can perish. It can never perish. So this is what we are doing. We are going on and on and on, accumulating wealth, people, name, fame, power, everything, just to make sure that we don't die. Oh. पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति.